The Raging Cajuns got what we hope to be a great weekend off in rare fashion, a 48-7 beatdown of Coastal Carolina. The LSU Tigers are minutes away from departing for Tuscaloosa. The physical work has long been done. Now, do the Tigers have the mental capacity to avenge their white whale and head into Tuscaloosa to get a win? And the Saints will try to keep their storybook season going as they try to get 7 in a row. It's a football Friday with a little bit of basketball mixed in. Today, Friday, November the 8th, 2019.
Our offensive line beating one-on-ones. We had max protection. We slide and these guys are beating us. They're stunting us. We tried everything we possibly could. Go full wide, max protection. Just got beat. This is the worst we played, obviously. You know, this is last year I thought we played very well. We had some shots. I felt good about it. But this year, no way. No way. They whooped us this way. You know, it has nothing to do with it. Just like when we play Auburn, just like when we play Florida. What happened in the past has nothing to do with this. This is a new game, a new week, a new football team. So new players on their side, new players on our side, has nothing to do with it.
You know, you always embrace challenges, but we've been challenged many times this year. We went on the road, really good Texas team, played Florida, Auburn. So we've been challenged, and I think that's going to help us a lot this week. Facing the adversity we've had this year and then last year, having a lot of guys coming back, I think it's going to really help us.
We'll be playing, you know, what is the number one team in the nation, who's playing at a very high level right now, and very explosive on offense, and still have one of the best defensive teams in the country.
We don't really like worry about number one, number two for real. We just go out there each and every week and just play our heart out to win. You know, so we didn't really focus on number one, who's number one, who's number two.
We're in the end game now.
Good afternoon. Yes, indeed, it is time. It is finally here. We are about 24 hours and 30 minutes away from the game that we've all been waiting for. Welcome to a Football Friday edition of the Jordy Hultberg Show. CD back in the master control suite. He is the stick that stirs the drink. Yours truly here, Studio 1A. We heard a little bit, but Coach O said it best with a little help from Shaquille O'Neal. Listen up.
We're coming. We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
Who are you? Well, how do you answer that question? Who are you? Well, you give a name. That's not true. They put that name on you and they taught you to identify with it and to behave as it was expected to behave. But that's not who you are. You know very well. Go back in your memory. Go back into your infancy before they started telling you all this stuff. Who are you?
The biggest games have a way of making everything seem a little bigger. The light shines a little brighter. The stakes feel a little higher. The inches are tough. The hits are harder. Big games are when we find out how big your heart is. How cool your nerves are. How good are you? And how bad do you want it?
You put that middle field, you put that night all night.
If every single eye in the country is going to be on it, it's for these games of the century moments.
The bigger the moment, the smaller you focus. Be a big time player. Make a big time play. Every snap. It's 11 men. One on one. When I take off,
Locked Unstoppable.
I would not want anybody else in the country that we have right here. I believe in this. We're coming. And we ain't backing down.
Woo! Goosebump City, here we go! Yes, indeed. As per the norm on this Football Friday, we always like to get the weather report. Nobody better in the business than Chris Cozart of KLFY, who is kind enough to join us yet again. Chris, it is downright cold out there, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you hyped up after that 10-minute intro you just had there on this big game for tomorrow, or what?
Send me in, Coach. I got one good play for you. Just send me in. All right, let's talk about lots of big high school football games taking place throughout Acadiana and the surrounding areas. So let's dive into the forecast. What's it going to be tonight?
Well, it's not going to warm up, but what we've seen so far today continues tonight. Right now we're dealing with some light rains. I think the rainfall will be over by kickoff this evening, but we are looking at some chilly and even breezy conditions tonight. So bring that thermos of hot chocolate and extra blankets with you to the stands.
All right, everybody wants to know, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Saturday, 2:30 game, so there'll be afternoon will turn into early evening because of the time change. So what's the forecast in T-Town?
Hey, it looks great. Can't ask for better weather there up in Tuscaloosa. Probably temperatures in the upper 50s, a lot of sunshine, no wind or anything like that, no rain of any sort. So we're good to go. Weather's not going to be an excuse for any team tomorrow.
All right, Cozart, I need a prediction from you now. I know you're a weatherman, but you're a football fan as well. Who you got?
Well, I don't think you're going to like my prediction too much here. I think I got Alabama by 14. I just think that they're the team to beat, and we'll see. Ed Burrow's got to play his game, and Alabama's kryptonite is mobile quarterback, so we'll see if Burrow can use his legs a little bit tomorrow. If he's able to do that, then you got a chance.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thank you so much. Football weather is upon us. Bring the blankets, and here we go. Boy, I tell you what, the weekend started off just great with the Raging Cajuns, a 48-7 road blowout win of Coastal Carolina Thursday night at Brooks Stadium in front of a national television audience. The Cajuns scored 6 touchdowns and 2 field goals on their first 8 possessions. Took the Chanticleers right out of the game. My goodness, what a night it was for one Levi Lewis as the Cajuns improved to 7-2 overall, 4-1 in the Sun Belt. Lewis was 17 of 19 completions in the first half for 180 yards with a touchdown and no interceptions. He finished the game 26 of 30 for 296, 3 touchdowns to give him career best in completions, yards, and touchdowns. Also set a school record for completion percentage in a game at 86.7%. If Levi Lewis plays like that, the Cajuns are going to win the Sun Belt Championship. I don't care if it's App State, whoever it is. If he plays like that, Cajuns are going to win. This has become a really good team. Very sound and fundamental on defense. They don't turn the ball over. And if you can get play like that from your quarterback, you're in good, good shape. We're brought to you each and every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. If you're a Buku Rewards member, very shortly you may be winning some tickets to the SEC Championship game. We've had a contest going on all week long. Stay tuned. Keep your fingers and your toes crossed on that one. But if you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, you just can't shop right at all. Let me tell you what we have coming up on the program. As per the norm, in this hour, we'll start things off after our first timeout. Jim Nickel will bring us the Nickel Report, everything you need to know about the University of Alabama. Just before the team takes off, we'll get former Judge Doug Mora, the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. He'll X and O it with us for another edition of Jordy and the Judge. Then we'll head to Tuscaloosa to wrap up hour number one. Long-time journalist, very well-respected, near and dear friend, Kevin Skarbinski will join us. Wait till you hear what Gary Danielson had to say as he watched Tua practicing Thursday. So we'll get into that with Kevin. We'll start off hour number two. We'll bring it back to Acadiana, a little football Friday night in Acadiana with George Faust, the sports director of KLFY, and we'll recap the Raging Cajun win over Coastal Carolina. Oh, we got to talk about the New Orleans Saints. The Atlanta Falcons come to town to New Orleans on Sunday for another rendition of the rivalry that is between the Saints and the Falcons. Larry Holder of The Athletic will share some thoughts on that. Then we'll take a little turn, a little fork in the road, because LSU basketball gets their season underway tonight against Bowling Green. John Brady will be on the call of the game on the LSU Sports Radio Network. We'll get his vantage point about what he saw from the Tigers in that charity game against Louisiana Tech. And then George Becknell, Clint Domain, and I, the three amigos, will give you some thoughts on LSU Alabama. Football Friday. We coming. We coming. And we ain't backing down here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Coming soon, all Christmas music, all the...
This is everything you need to know about the Tigers' opponent on Saturday. Time for the Nickel Report.
It wouldn't be a Football Friday without the next in line. And, of course, it's finally, finally just about here. LSU getting ready to hit the road to travel to Tuscaloosa. And just before he gets on the team bus to do such, our good friend Jim Nickel is joining us. Jim, good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon to you, Jordy. Looking forward to getting on this bus and heading to T-Town and getting a win for the Tigers, a big W, one of the biggest ever, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. It was. Were you there with us in 2011 when we won that game?
Oh, yeah. The 9-6 okay. game, absolutely.
Yes.
I distinctly remember going into downtown or into the campus area after the game, and they were closing every bar, restaurant, and store in Tuscaloosa. They did not want anybody from LSU celebrating anything. It's true. I mean, they closed them all. They're like, no, you're not partying here. Go to Meridian. Go to Birmingham. You're not partying in T-Town. But, yes, I was there for the game of the century, as they like to call it.
Well, I hope they keep the bars open in Baton Rouge till well past 2 a.m. if the Tigers come home with a victory over Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. So let's get right into it. Tell us everything we know. Need to know about that little school in Tuscaloosa.
The Nickel Report, University of Alabama, founded in 1831. Of course, all Jordy Holberg listeners know LSU was founded in 1860. Their endowment is right at the billion-dollar mark. They're almost there, and LSU is not far behind at $800 million. They've got about 30,000 students on campus, a little over 21,000 undergrads. The tuition in-state, very much like LSU's, right in the $6,000 range. I don't want to talk about the out-of-state tuition. Alabama Law School is ranked 11th best public law school in the country. In 1892, women were allowed to attend Alabama through the efforts of a woman named Julia Tutwiler. The reason we bring that into the Nickel Report is if you go to Bryant-Denny or if you see the aerial shots on CBS tomorrow, you'll see a big, large building, very ugly building, almost as ugly as Kirby Smith dorm on LSU's campus. That's Tutwiler dorm. That's an all-female dorm right across the street from Bryant-Denny Stadium. On June 11, 1963, Governor George Wallace stood in the door of the Foster Auditorium to stop the enrollment of two African-American students, Vivian Malone and James Hood. Hood dropped out and did not return. Vivian Malone, she stuck with it and went on to graduate. Yes, she was the first African-American to graduate from Alabama. I get Jordy on this one every time. He just can't ever remember it. Let's see if we get him again this year. The school bus service on campus is called
Roll Tide.
Stump him every year, folks. The Crimson Ride. Mascot is Big Al. That's his name. They call him Big Al. Everybody will say, where did Crimson Tide come from? 1907 Iron Bowl. Auburn, heavily favored to win, was forced to accept a tie with Alabama after a hard-fought game. And after the game, describing it in the newspaper, one sports writer described the offensive line as a Crimson Tide in reference to their crimson jerseys, and they've been known as the Crimson Tide ever since. Famous graduates, we all love that book and the movie Forrest Gump. That was written by Winston Groom. Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. Of course, Broadway Joe Namath, Bart Starr, who unfortunately we lost this year. Ozzie Newsome, Derek Thomas. I could go on and on with football names. The longtime voice of the New York Yankees for many years, he passed away a few years ago, Mel Allen. Yeah. Jerry Tate, who won the U.S. Open. Gomer Pyle. Jim Neighbors. Everybody remembers him. He was a graduate. And then my favorite graduate of the University of Alabama, Bertie Madoff, who operated the largest Ponzi screen in U.S. history. We can talk about their football program. I mean, what, 28 SEC titles, 17 national championships, over 160 first-team All-Americans, 65 bowl appearances, 38 10-win seasons. Those are all NCAA records. Bear Bryant won six national championships, which ties in with Newt Rockne. This is a very, very good football program with a lot of history, and I don't think they've had a decent game in Bryant Denny. They're going to have a good one tomorrow night, and that is the Nickel Report.
I saw this stat, and it's just amazing to me. I love Nick Saban for what he did when he was at LSU, and I'll always remember that and treasure that. But with Saban, Bama has won one more national championship since his first season, five, than they've lost football games at home, four. That is
that
is remarkable. And that's what LSU has to get over. They have to literally, if you talk to the four coaches that actually beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and that one of them was Les Miles, one was Gene Chizik, one was Hugh Freeze, and one had an assistant coach, offensive coordinator by the name of Cliff Kingsbury with Johnny Manziel. They all said, you got to believe, and it can't be fake belief. It's got to be sincere, honest belief. And I believe for the first time in many years, this LSU football staff, this LSU football team, this LSU nation really feels and believes they can go in there and win.
I agree with you. I believe we can win, and I'm usually the biggest skeptic of all. I think that these players believe in each other. They believe in their coaches. Coach O has them in the right place. His press conference on Monday, he made it very clear. I don't need these players going out and making the greatest game. They need to follow the old Sean Payton motto, and that is do your job. I think if LSU's players do their job well, our corners do what they've been doing all year, our offensive line doing what they've been doing lately, of course, Joe Burrow doing what he's done all year, and our receivers, we can absolutely win this game. I think we will win this game. I think that Alabama's got some chinks in their armor. They've had a little bit of an injury bug, more than LSU, and that's the way seasons go. And, yes, I think we will walk in that stadium tomorrow with full belief that we can win that game. And you're right, in the past, I'm not sure that belief was there.
Jim Nickel with the Nickel Report. Where does LSU stay now? I mean, we've stayed in Birmingham. We've stayed on the outskirts of Tuscaloosa. Where do they stay now?
We're at the Marriott in Birmingham, a little north of town. It's going to be interesting with the president being at the game. We're going to have to get secure on the buses at Birmingham because they're going to bring us straight in the stadium. So, in the old days when we drove up to the stadium and I would scoot off and check out a tailgate or two, that's not happening tomorrow. No. I mean, when you get in that bubble, as they call it, don't leave because you're not getting back in. They're going to be closing the streets. Now, my understanding, and I don't know this, but he may helicopter in as opposed to drive in because he's landing in Birmingham, I think. You can't put Air Force One down at the Tuscaloosa Airport. So hopefully the roads don't get closed down because it can get to be a real nightmare. And I know regardless of how you feel about the president, I don't think he wants to make it harder. But I did talk to people who went to the Army-Navy game last year where he went. And when he gets to the stadium, they stop letting people in. All the gates close. Get him into where he needs to be, and then the gates open. So if you're going to the game, get there early. They're opening the gates. Yeah. They're getting their gates open early. Get in there early. It's going to be a nice day. Get yourself a nice little hot dog, whatever they serve over there in T-Town, and just sit back and and wait. But, yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be very, very exciting, very electric. Alabama's pregame is a lot of fun. I mean, they do a lot of good pregame cheers. I don't think they are as loud and as boisterous as Tiger Stadium once the game begins, although it is loud. But their pregame, with all their little red and white, crimson white shakers, they'll have it going. So get there early, check out the pregame, and enjoy the game.
Lots of houndstooth hats in remembrance of the bear. So it's up to you now. You know, you're in charge of the Friday night meal, and we gotta do something different to end this skid. So I want you to be on your best. And let's get this group together, because that's important, because that's where you discuss how this game is going to all unfold. And I want you guys to be on the top of your game.
Well, I gotta admit that I'm going to have maybe a little libation with the crew. I've got family in town, as you know, and so I've got to go to dinner with the wife and the daughters and do that deal. So, but I will definitely get together with Dr. Banks and Doug Morrow. Gordy Rush, a few of those guys. We'll get together and talk about the game and get our pregame predictions. You would have enjoyed the meal in Starkville. It was classic Jordy Hultberg meal. Big table, lots of people. I've replaced you as the MC, went around, got the predictions. I'm not Jordy Hultberg, but I try.
You did great, and I'm not Jim Nickel. I couldn't do the Nickel Report. But, hey, safe. Look, have safe travels, and when you come back, tell me where you're going to be after the win, and I'll meet you for a cold libation. How about that?
I will definitely text you as we get on the plane, and as Les would say, we will fly home with victory.
Fly home with victory. Jim Nickel, the Nickel Report. Thank you, my friend. Go get them.
Thank you, buddy. We'll get them. Bye-bye.
There you go. That brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. 60 of them. Now, a lot of you people, there's no tickets left to get. So you're going to be watching the ball game. Well, ShopRite Tobacco Plus has everything you need for the adults in your watch party and the youngsters in your watch party. So go ahead. Let's go. You really can shop right at ShopRite. Jordy and the Judge coming up next. We catch up with Doug Morrow as we continue this Football Friday edition of the Jordy Hultberg Show. We coming, and we ain't backing down. We'll be right back.
Time to talk Tigers with former All-American Doug Morrell. All rise! It's another edition of Jordy and the Judge.
He was a judge back in the day. He was many, many things, but forever and a day he has been the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network, and we're very thankful that he has been, and we're even more thankful that Doug joins us. You're getting ready to get on the bus to fly out to Tuscaloosa, so we appreciate the time on a busy day. My goodness, are you as ready for this game as I am? I mean, we've talked about it for days and seems like for months, but it's within the grasp of our hands now, finally. How are you, Douglas?
I'm doing good, Jordy. How are you today?
I'm terrific. What can you share? You know, give us your thoughts on this ball game. You've seen many, many. You've played against them before. Alabama's the gold standard. And what are your thoughts as we approach this game of the century number two, I guess?
Well, it's so much different than any of the others. And by that, I mean LSU and Alabama are very, very similar offensively. Alabama's got great pass receivers.
Yeah.
LSU's got great pass receivers. Alabama's got a great quarterback who I assume is going to play, and I assume he's going to be 100%. And they got a great backup in Mac Jones if Tua is not able to play or not able to play full time. So they've got that, and they've got good running backs. They might have a bigger bull-type running back than LSU has. LSU's got maybe smaller. Ty Davis Price is, although a freshman, he's a big back. He's coming into his own, but he's not as experienced as Najee Harris. But right. but they're similar in at all positions. Alabama's got, if you look at their offensive line, they've got huge, very skilled men. The height, I'm going to go across left tackle to right tackle, 6'6", 6'7", 6'6", 6'4", 6'5". And these guys are running anywhere between 310 and 365. You know, so these, and you know that they're good athletes because you right. don't get recruited to Alabama unless you are.
Right.
So Alabama's got a very good offensive line. And where the game is going to be won, Jordy, I think is going to be, as every game is won, at the line of scrimmage. Because in order for those receivers to be influential in the game, the quarterback has to have a good enough day to get passes to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if the offensive line does not hold out the defensive rush, then that quarterback is not going to be effective, and that goes for both teams. And then once you get to that point, let's assume that there's going to be the ability to execute an offense. Alabama's receivers, great receivers, they are a different kind than LSU's. LSU's are 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and they're big. Alabama's are smaller, but they're very quick. They're very fast. And so where they have been so dangerous offensively this entire year is that they make catches 4 yards downfield, and then with great speed and quickness, they're able to get by that first tackle, and they're off to the house. LSU has similar in that, but Alabama's really their receivers are exceptional at doing that. Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, all of them are capable at any time catching the ball 3 or 4 yards downfield, scoring a touchdown on it because of the way that they've structured their offense. But at the line of scrimmage is where it's got to take place in order for that to happen. And so that's, to me, the big key.
Mm-hmm.
Second big key is that the tackling in the open field has got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that there's so much quickness and so much speed on both teams, once you get in the open field, if you run away from that first tackler and the remainder of the defense doesn't close in on you, then that's going to be a score or a big gainer. And so the tackling in the open field, I think, is the most important component once you get past the line of scrimmage and the play at the line of scrimmage. So it's going to be a very interesting game because the teams are so similar offensively that in order to be successful offensively, you've got to give the quarterback time to throw. The team that's more efficient at doing that is the one that has a real advantage. So it's, you know, that's kind of a long answer to your question, but it's a complicated game in this case because there are so many great players in the game. And so many people can influence the game depending upon whether they have a good day. But all of it relies upon the line of scrimmage and the offensive line being effective. When your team has the ball, you've got to be able to push that line of scrimmage 2 or 3 yards back. And defensively, you've got to push that offensive line of scrimmage 2 or 3 yards back. Whoever wins that battle is going to be the one that has a great advantage.
Doug Moore, kind enough to join us. Of course, he'll be on the call of the game at 2:30 Bryant-Denny Stadium, where since 2008, just four teams have won there, and that by a combined total of just 15 points. Alabama's always well coached. They execute. They don't make big mistakes. I am very curious to see what Dave Aranda comes up with to try and, I don't know if you can, you can't stop, but you can try to contain these wide receivers. That to me is the chess match going up against arguably one of the greatest defensive minds in football. And as we always have said, whenever we talk about Nick Saban, he says we don't have to sack the quarterback, but we have to affect the quarterback. I'm sure Dave Aranda feels the same way.
That's exactly right. And that's what both of them are going to try to do. And particularly with Tua, if his injury doesn't make him 100%, because he's coming back after a real short stint after surgery on his ankle. And, I don't think he can be 100% the entire game. I think that he can be pretty close to it for a good part of the game. But if LSU makes him move around back there, if they affect him by making him to start thinking about things other than what he's supposed to do. Now, in Tua's favor, he's really good at being disciplined, and he throws a football like throwing darts. I mean, he is just – that ball's coming out of his hand quick, gets to the receivers quick, and he's extremely accurate. Joe Burrow is extremely accurate, too. But, you know, Tua's got a unique delivery in his delivery. A left-hander lets him get the ball in the hands of the receivers quickly, and so it's very hard to cover the receivers to keep them from having a completed pass. That's why the tackling is so important, because they're going to be in the open field making that catch, and the guy closest to them has got to make the tackle, not just try to make the tackle, but he's got to make the tackle and complete it.
Doug, I've said this, and I want your expert opinion on it, because I think both teams will move the ball up and down the field. I think when you get in the red zone, I think whoever is most effective there is the team that's going to win. LSU had to settle for field goals against Auburn early on. I don't think you can do that against Alabama. I think when the opportunity presents itself, you better get six, because you're going to get yourself in a hole if you don't. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. When either team that has an opportunity to get a touchdown, they need to convert and get a touchdown. When you start adding up threes instead of adding up sevens, there's a big gap that becomes pretty apparent pretty quickly. In this case, it's important because both teams are going to try to outscore the other. Alabama's not as good defensively as they usually are. I don't mean that as a slight against their defense. They're just always so great. And now they have some young guys defensively who are very good, but they're freshmen, and they may make some mistakes. They may not. They may be better than the seniors that they replaced. But it's going to be one of those games where I think both teams go into it with the idea that they want to outscore the opposition. And when you outscore, it's easier when you have 7-point increments rather than 3-point increments. And that's why it's so important. You get in the red zone, you got to get touchdowns.
I like our chances, because I remember I said they've only lost four times by a total of 15 points. One was LSU 9-6 back in 2011, which was just a defensive slugfest. It was so physical. But all the other ones, they had one thing in common. In 2010, Auburn had Cam Newton. In 2012, Texas A&M had Johnny Manziel. And in 2015, Ole Miss had Chad Kelly. All dynamic quarterbacks that could make plays. Joe Burrow fits that bill a hundredfold in my book.
He does. LSU has the best chance that they've had in quite some time because of the makeup of the team and the way that the LSU team has improved. But while the LSU team has improved, Alabama's, you know, they've been playing tough competition certainly at the end of the year. They play in Clemson pretty much every year, and that's pretty tough competition. And they win some and they lose some. But Alabama's got great athletes. They've got, as you said, great coaches, although their entire staff changes almost annually. They have all kinds of people leave, go get head coaching jobs, and they replace them with other people. Steve Sarkisian's their offensive coordinator, one of those quarterback gurus, and he's a real genius. And Coach Saban, as you know, is not probably the easiest coach to work for, but he's a great coach, and he is very, very disciplined, and he has very disciplined players. And so it's going to be tough. They're not going to give you anything.
That's right.
So you've got to take it from them. That's why LSU can't make mistakes and can't blow opportunities that they have to score touchdowns. Should be a great game. I mean, games don't. The possibility of a great game like this doesn't come about very often.
That's right.
And then a lot of times when it happens, the game doesn't turn out to be that great. This game has all the makings to be one of the classic games of all time.
Well, have a great Friday night dinner with the gang. Safe travels. Have a great call of the game, and good luck. Go get them. And thank you as always, Doug.
Jordy, thank you. Great being with you as always.
All right, that's Doug Morrow, Jordy and the Judge, brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana. We told you the equipment is already there at Bryant Denny Stadium because they got there with a Peterbilt truck. Picked up right there in Baton Rouge. They have offices in Lafayette, Lake Charles, and New Orleans. Peterbilt, it's the goal of every truck driver to own one because it's the gold standard. Peterbilt of Louisiana. We'll go behind enemy lines. Kevin Skarbinski will join us from T-Town as we continue on this Football Friday edition of the Jordy Hultberg Show.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
We continue our Football Friday. Let's go out to the great state of Alabama, one of the legendary sports figures to cover Alabama sports, particularly the Crimson Tide. Now the director of communications for the Coach Safely Foundation. He also does a weekly blog on the SEC website that's must-read material. Our good friend Kevin Skarbinski, kind enough to join us. Kevin, been a while, buddy. How are you?
Jordy, I'm great. Always good to talk to you.
You've covered a lot of these games, LSU and Alabama, and you've seen the Bear Bryant era, you've seen the Nick Saban era, and everything in between. When you look at this particular matchup, what do you say? Can you believe what we're going to see?
It almost makes me want to say I'll believe it when I see it, but I've seen enough from both teams to believe that there will be some points scored. There will be touchdowns scored, which will make it very different from the game of the century back in 2011 when we saw just a handful of field goals when LSU won in overtime 9-6. It truly is. We've reached the upside down, to use a phrase from the Stranger Things show that my kids watch on Netflix.
Right.
I'm excited to see that LSU has finally joined the current century with the rest of college football and opened up their offense, because that's the only thing that's been holding them back from winning championships has been the offense, and that offense is legit. There's no doubt. So I think there's going to be a lot of fireworks in Bryant Denny tomorrow.
Kevin, where is Alabama now? You know, what do we know about them? I know they got great receivers. Everybody says it's not the same defense. They got a lot of young pups, but I got to believe with Nick Saban and that mentality, they're not as bad as maybe some people are alluding to.
Yeah, well, I don't think bad enters the conversation when you're talking about a Nick Saban football team at this point in his career.
Right.
Well, you raise an interesting point, though, Jordy. We really don't know much about this Alabama team because they haven't been tested. This mm-hmm. is almost like a season opener for them because their schedule has been so soft. And again, that's not their fault. I guess they did schedule Duke for the opener. That's not up to their usual standards for one of those neutral site games. But they just have not been tested. They haven't faced an elite offense like they're going to see in LSU. They haven't faced an elite defense like they're going to see in LSU. Now, having said all that, this is Alabama. This is the program that has been the gold standard for more than a decade now since Nick Saban got to Tuscaloosa. We know they have talent. They recruit as well or better than anybody in the country every year. And they just have some young talent. That's going to be the key to me because they have young linebackers. They're young inside on the defensive front. Those guys have grown up a lot since they were thrown into the fire earlier in the season. But again, they haven't faced anything like they're going to see tomorrow. So it'll be fascinating. It'll be an education, really, to see just where this Alabama team is.
Kevin Skarbinski, kind enough to join us. Gary Danielson, who'll be on the call of the game for CBS, said he watched Alabama practice, and he says, I watched Tua practice. He isn't 100%. I don't care what Alabama says. I don't care what Tua says. I watched him. He doesn't have that spring in his step. It's not natural. All right. What do you surmise from all of that?
Well, the first thing I surmise is that'll be the last time Gary Danielson will watch Alabama practice. As long as Nick Saban's there.
Yes.
I was a little shocked he was that demonstrative with his comments. It is fast. Again, it'll be fascinating to see. Tua had, I think, a little more than an added week to prepare and get ready last year after having similar surgery. That was on his plant foot. This is his other his plant ankle. This is his other ankle. The reports we've been hearing out of Tuscaloosa is that he has progressed more quickly than last year coming off that injury. But, again, what does that mean when you're facing the LSU pass rush? What does it mean when you get hit a few times, as I anticipate you will? Again, we just don't know. We know what he is capable of when he's healthy, and we know what those receivers are capable of. And as far as we know, they're all healthy, and they are a handful. To me, that's one of the most fascinating matchups of the entire season, is those receivers against LSU's defensive backs. Particularly, I can't wait to see Stingley match up one-on-one with whether it's Jerry Jeudy or Henry Ruggs or any of those great Alabama wideouts.
Yeah, they've got a lot of NFL players on the field. There is no question about that. Kevin Skrbinski, kind enough to join us. So, you know, line of scrimmage is still line of scrimmage. Ed Orgeron thinks they've caught up with Alabama. Last year was a blowout. They dominated offensive line, defensive line. Is Alabama as strong in the past in those two areas?
Well, their offensive line is very good. And LSU better be ready to step up on the defensive front, because Alabama's offensive line is not just talented, it is very, very physical. So that will be a key. On the other side of the ball, there's young talent on the Alabama front, but inside, this is not your traditional Alabama dominant defense. There's no Quinnen Williams in there. There's no Derrick Brown in there, or Marlon Davidson that LSU saw in Auburn. Auburn's defensive front is better than Alabama's. Now, Alabama's good on the edges with Anfernee Jennings and Terrell Lewis. Terrell Lewis has gotten healthy, which could present some problems for Joe Burrow, because he's really stepped up his game. So it's not your traditionally dominant Alabama defense. They have grown up, though. Just how much, and are they ready for what they're going to see Saturday?
So what do you think? What are the keys to this thing from your perspective? What do you give? Is this LSU's best opportunity to finally put this thing to bed once and for all?
Well, it's the best opportunity in years. I think people have overstated that, though. I think people have forgotten in 2012 and 2014, both of those games could have gone either way. Alabama had to come back late in both of those games in Baton Rouge. So it's not as if LSU hasn't been competitive with Alabama since 2011. That's factually incorrect. Mm-hmm. Now, it is the best chance, though, in some time, because Alabama was quicker to change its offense, to modernize its offense, to get with the modern passing game, as they did when Lane Kiffin came in. And you remember Amari Cooper, how effective he was as a wide receiver. Well, Alabama was quicker to do that, and LSU has been behind. But now this is as fair a fight, let's put it that way, as we've seen between Alabama and LSU in years.
So when it all settles and it's about 6:30 Saturday evening in Tuscaloosa, how do you see this thing turning out?
Well, every time people want to suggest, and I've done it a time or two myself, that we might be seeing at least a hint of the end of the Nick Saban dynasty, they turn around and they smack somebody and remind everyone who they are. So until further notice, until LSU shows they can beat Alabama, I'm going to believe Alabama will beat LSU one more time, but in a much more thrilling fashion than maybe the last few games have been.
In the 30s, or you think even higher?
I can't see either one of these defenses giving up 40 points to the other. And the Auburn defense was able to hold LSU into the 20s. Now, Auburn's defense may be better, I would say, based on what we've seen, is better than Alabama's overall, certainly up front. I think, Kevin, if you get to 35, you should be happy. You should go home, because you'll probably go home with a victory.
You're the best. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, buddy.
Jordy, always have fun chatting with you. Have a great weekend.
Back for hour number two, Football Friday, next.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour two of two, and away we go on this Football Friday. Let's not waste any time. Let's get right to it. George Faust, Faust on a Friday. The sports director from KLFY joins us as he does each and every Friday. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Doing well, Jordy. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I never saw that coming. Let's go, before we talk about Friday, let's go back to Thursday night. The Raging Cajuns in Conway, South Carolina, 48-7, a blowout win over Coastal Carolina. Man, look out, Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, they looked really good. The offense looked phenomenal. Levi Lewis was on fire.
Yes.
Almost 300 yards passing. Just an amazing performance. And look, I don't know how much revenge actually played into that game, but I can guarantee you that Coach Napier probably had a little nugget and said, "Look, they came into our house last year and beat us by two. Let's go take care of business in their house." And that's exactly what they did. Trey Regis had a touchdown, a complete game.
We're talking with George Faust, sports director from KLFY. You mentioned Levi Lewis. I don't know if Lewis is able to do that on a day-to-day basis. 26 of 30, 296 yards, three touchdowns, a career best in completions, yards, and TDs. But if he can play close to that, now we're talking a dangerous, dangerous football team.
Yeah, look, he's the heartbeat of that team. Coach Napier said it time and time again that he has the ear of the locker room, and he is kind of what all the players, they look to him. He is one of the leaders, not only because he's at quarterback, but also because he is a likable guy, and the players look up to him. So it's always good when your best player and the player your guys look up to is the guy who is the best player on the team or one of them, you know.
I had
a coach tell me that one time as well. You know, sometimes the guy that everybody follows is not the guy who's the best guy on the team or the best guy you want the team to follow, if that makes any sense. But Levi Lewis is that guy, and Coach Napier is happy to have a guy like that guiding this team.
Cajuns are now 7-2 overall, 4-1 in the Sun Belt. The way they're playing on both sides of the football, it certainly looks like a collision course again for the second time in 2 years. They have to play App State again for a championship, but that would be great. Marked improvement by this club. And the defense, as you said, Ron Roberts has done a great job. Their offense, they took the wind out of the sails of Coastal Carolina. They scored on just about every possession. Six touchdowns and two field goals on their first eight possessions. That is efficiency. So the Cajuns looking good. Now we've got high school football to talk about, and we're
right.
Coming to the end of the regular season, and there's some district titles up for grabs. Where will KLFY be this evening?
Well, look, before we get to that, we had some Thursday night high school action as well. Carrico and Westgate. What a game that was. I was at that game last night. Carrico is one of the bigger surprises of the season thus far with regards to the regular season. And they beat Westgate last night in a game where it was kind of back and forth early on. And then Carrico just kind of stayed the course, if you will. And Kendrell Johnson, I think, is his name, or Williams
yes.
is his name, and running back, and he scored a long touchdown. And look, Carrico under Tony Corville, they've done a great job of kind of a resurgence there in the open air Crow Dome, if you will. And they get a share of the district title. It's a three way tie for the district title between Westgate, STM, and Carrico. So a great job by Carrico to be able to get their patch, man. They get to put a patch on their jacket last night with that win. Tonight, we're looking at There's a really interesting contest. I know it's Division IV in the playoffs, but it's Class 1A, 8-1A, Central Catholic and Vermilion Catholic. Vermilion Catholic has a junior quarterback by the name of Drew Leger. And this young man, I went out and talked to him this week. He's got himself together. He's a leader on that team for Coach Kevin Fuqua. And that's going to be a fun matchup. They have to go down to Morgan City to play that one. But that's mm-hmm. one to keep an eye on, because Vermilion Catholic, they're a team with some great coaching and some very good talent on the field. So, I'm anxious to see what happens in that one, as well as some other games around the area. I don't, Lafayette, Acadiana. I mean, probably the biggest game in this area with regard. I mean, the rival that is that game. It's been a rival for a long time, and so yeah, it's definitely one of the that's probably locally the big game of the night, no doubt.
Acadiana football just one game away from that perfect 10-0 regular season. I know Brobridge can get an outright district title if they beat Livonia tonight. They have their best record since 2011. Como is as hot as can be. They can get their first winning season since 2013 with a win against Barb.
Right.
So there's a lot of good games riding out there. But I got to get your thoughts real quick. LSU-Bama, who you got?
Oh yeah, man. So Jordy, you know this business pretty well, and so what happens is sometimes you get credentials, sometimes you don't. We got denied credentials to the LSU game, but my uncle called me up on Wednesday and said, "Hey, you want to go to the game?" I was like, "Yeah, I want to go to the game." He goes, "I got you a ticket." I said, "All right."
There you go.
So I am actually going to the game, but I get to do something I've never done in. I don't know how long. I'm going to the game as a fan for a change.
That's awesome.
So I'm really looking forward to watching this contest from a fan's perspective and just kind of gauging. I like LSU in this contest. I think it's going to be close. I'll give you a score right now. I think it's going to be like 31-28, 24-21, something like that. Well, I think LSU wins the game. Hopefully it doesn't come down to a field goal, though. I'd like it to be, in hand, and then Alabama scores a late touchdown but doesn't have enough time to kick the onside kick and get the, that type of game. So, I do like LSU in this game. I think they have the best chance to win with their quarterback, with the defense. I think this is a game where Derek Stingley Jr. is he's been bred for a game like this. So I think if they want to test him, go ahead and test him. I think he's up for the challenge.
So what time you got football Friday night. George, you have to get up early in the morning to make the trek to Tuscaloosa.
Right. So I'm going to New Orleans. After the show tonight, I'll be in New Orleans. I'll head to New Orleans, and I'll get there. And my uncle is coming to pick me up at like 5:30, and we're driving to Tuscaloosa, me and my cousins, and we're driving to Tuscaloosa going to watch it. I've been to Bryant Denny many times, but it's always fun to be able to. It's a little road trip, I don't get to hang out with my cousins and my uncle that much now, the business. I'm looking forward to it.
Enjoy the game as a fan. Safe travels. Always fun talking with you. That's Faust on Friday. Thank you, George.
Hey, thank you, Jordy. Always a pleasure.
All right, take a time out here. We'll continue this football Friday. The Saints and the Falcons. Larry Holder of The Athletic. Next, here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Well, we've got LSU-Alabama on a Saturday. We got the Saints and the Falcons. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that unless they were both at home and we could, just make the drive from Baton Rouge to New Orleans, but thus is not the case. But Larry Holder of The Athletic, kind enough to join us. Pretty big weekend, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. And it's funny, you kind of think back to maybe like last year when they had Alabama LSU at Tiger Stadium, and then they had Saints Rams. And the only team this weekend that's not living up to that bargain is the Falcons, and they're kind of floundering. So, yeah, it's yes. still an exciting weekend, no doubt. One we've definitely been looking forward to.
Let's talk about the Saints real quick. Alvin Kamara says he's ready to return and planning to play like I ain't missed a beat. I'm going to tell you what, this team just keeps getting better and better. Well, the most complete team in the NFL, do you abide by that?
I would say there's probably only about two or three teams within that argument, and definitely the Saints are in that argument. So when you add Alvin Kamara back to the mix, it's definitely bringing back one of the best weapons in the NFL. And Jordy, Alvin could have probably played a couple of weeks ago if this were a big-time crucial game, but they held back on him and smartly, obviously. And I do think, though, that the fact that Latavius Murray played well the week before, and we certainly saw him play well against Arizona, that helped kind of calm any nerves of Kamara missing. But I do think, though, the fact that we were able to see Latavius Murray play when Alvin Kamara's coming back, I think that definitely brings an unexpected element, maybe, because who knew Latavius would play that well? So I think it brings a little bit more diversity with their backfield, which is certainly something the Saints can use going forward.
No question. Now you've got a more prominent role from a Taysom Hill. You get your tight end back, who I still think is gonna get better and improve. At least I hope Jared Cook does. My goodness gracious. Does the fact that the Falcons stink temper this game at all, or do Saints fans just still despise them?
Saints fans certainly still despise them. There's no doubt about that. I would say those who have been within this rivalry, within the locker room for the last several years, they certainly aren't fond of the Falcons either. I think, does it have a little bit of a damper? Maybe a little bit, but I think, say, if LSU wasn't playing Alabama, if they were playing Ole Miss or Arkansas, maybe there'd be more buzz around Saints-Falcons. I think that's kind of helping to dampen that game on Sunday. But still, there's no question in my mind that the Saints are going to go in ramped up, ready to go. I mean, look, Drew Brees, look, he's played 2.5 games this year, not even 2.5 games, so he's ready to go. Kamara's coming back. He's going to be ready to go. You mentioned Jared Cook. He's going to be returning as well. And this team also knows that the NFC South is not a sure thing at this point because Carolina's still playing well, and they're within reach to catch the Saints. And they're not the number one seed in the NFC right now. And so you add all of that up to the element that this is the Falcons, and they would want nothing more than to smack them into oblivion. I think that the Saints come out really amped up, ready to play.
Yeah, we're the biggest Green Bay Packer fans of all time this Sunday, and we can't wait for that showdown against the 49ers in the Superdome. That's going to be spectacular. 13-point spread. It's the biggest spread in the history of this series. Anything I need to worry about with this one?
I do think there are some things to worry. I feel like if there's a last stand the Falcons would make, it would be this game. And I just remember last year when Calvin Ridley had a big day in week three, and Marshawn Lattimore had the quick following around Julio Jones to follow around Calvin Ridley. And, you know, Matt Ryan, it seems like he's going to be playing. Look, if they get going in the passing game, I do think it's a concern. Now, defensively for the Falcons, I don't think they have too big of a concern for the Saints offense, but you just never know. I mean, look, the Saints, even in great seasons, have ended up with a stinker somewhere. I don't think this is it. I think this team is good enough to not have a stinker, and yet still you don't ever know. I mean, it's the NFL. I do think that the spread is legit just because the Saints are so good and the Falcons really have just been playing so poorly.
I guess the key is just get out the gate quickly and the Falcons will fold their tent. That's a coach that's dead man walking. He's making changes in the midseason, taking a running back coach and making him a defensive back coach. It is just crazy what's going on with the Falcons. But anyway, let's get to the fun one. LSU at Bama. Is the difference in this game the fact that LSU has Joe Burrow?
Well, I think he's a difference maker. I think that the way he's playing is a difference maker. I mean, look, last year, we now come to find out he was banged up 2 days before they played. And I don't know if that would have been – I don't know if LSU was ready for that game last year anyway. I think they're far more confident in themselves and playing much better and ready to go in this game. But if there's ever a quarterback – in, say, the history of LSU's program that's wired to be able to handle this game, it would be Joe Burrow. I don't think there's any question about that. And, look, I'm looking forward to, even though it's, people say it's never quarterback versus quarterback, but in my mind it is because they're battling for a Heisman, they're battling for draft stock, and they're also trying to push their team to number one in the college football poll and kind of be in pole position. So, in a literal and figurative sense, I do think it is a Burrow versus Tua matchup.
I'm with you. Larry Holder of The Athletic, and we've never seen this before. I can't recall a game where we've had quarterbacks like this with so much at stake, not only from, as you mentioned, not only from the team's perspective, but from the individual viewpoint as well. So Alabama hasn't been tested. I got to believe they're still coached by Nick Saban, so they're still good. And, you know, their defense is still going to be good. I'm curious as to what Dave Aranda has up his sleeve. I think that's the chess match within this ballgame. What is Aranda going to try to do to slow down these the wide receivers that Alabama has and a really good running back that doesn't get a lot of credit?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the front seven plays. We know that Divinity is out, and he's not playing. And so a lot of these guys played last year outside of Chaseon. He's certainly going to be a bit of an X factor. I mean, he's got tons of athletic ability, and you're wondering if he can contain Tua. But also you're wondering how healthy is Tua. So you've got that element to it as well. But I do think, I do think that Alabama's receivers and LSU's secondary, that's kind of a wash. I'd say the same thing on the if you're flipping it the other way, LSU receivers versus Alabama's secondary. I think it's a wash. I think both of those groups are two of the best in the country. But I do think, though, that that defensive front for LSU, I mean, how often are they going to play one defensive lineman hand to the ground? How often are they going to put more guys and try to blitz? I think it is definitely a bit of a chess match there. And how effective can LSU's line be? I mean, just remember last year, Jordy, how Ed Ogeron did not hold back last year. So they just weren't good enough. They didn't recruit well enough, and they couldn't hang. And so it's a lot of the same folks that were there from last year. So that, to me, is a huge element to this game.
I guess the difference is Alabama lost a lot of their biggins playing in the NFL. We'll see. I'm concerned on, you know, Grant Delpit's going to play, but, you know, how effective is he going to be? How hurt is he? What percentage of health is he? Because that's a pivotal spot and a pivot. That's an All-American there.
Absolutely. Even after the game, I figured he would still be ready to go after the Auburn game I'm talking about. But still, if you're not practicing a ton, I think that does lend to tell you that he's not completely healthy. If he can walk, I'm sure he's going to want to play this game. There's no doubt about that. But still, it's something that you got to be curious to see how they play him. Are they going to play him in a major center field role, or are they just – they're going to allow him to play closer to the line of scrimmage, which he excels at, too. So, I do think, though, that with Jacoby Stevens back there, he's certainly playing well. And I think that the fact that there is kind of a 1-2 punch at safety, that could ease if Delpit is not 100%. But, yeah, it's just the same thing as Tua. I mean, they're two of the best players in the country. They're going to be top 15 picks. I think there's no doubt about that. So, you know, one of your best guys is banged up. You got to learn to work around it. And if he's limited, you got to work around his limitations.
Gary Danielson, the CBS color analyst on the SEC this morning, said, I watched Tua in practice yesterday. He isn't 100%. I don't care what Alabama says. I don't care what Tua says. I watched him. He doesn't have that spring in his step. It's not natural. We talked with Kevin Skarbinski earlier in the show, and he said, I said, what do you take from that? He said, Gary Danielson will never watch Alabama practice again if he's coming out and spilling the beans like that.
Yeah, when I heard that comment, I was thinking, okay, that's probably not what you need to say leading up to the game. You could probably say that during the broadcast. You probably should held on to that. So, yeah, that's that's one of those perks when you get to do the network and you get to see the stuff. You hold it for the broadcast. But I think it's good for us. So, hey, you know, his loss will be our informational gain. But look, if Tua is hampered, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Because especially, you know, if he's going to make the throw, he's got to step in onto that ankle. And can he make those throws? And, it's, boy, there's so many different angles to this. And when you look at it, though, I mean, that's, you could argue that's number one.
That is number one. Larry Holder of The Athletic, we got 30 seconds left. Give me your final thoughts. Give me a score. What do you think?
Boy, I'm going back and forth on this just because you get closer and you get shaky. Like, oh, no, is it going to be just like we've seen in the past years?
I'm
going to ride it. 35-31 LSU. Game in the 30. Defense makes a couple plays. 35-31 LSU.
He is Larry Holder of The Athletic, and Jeff Duncan gets to go to the good game again. What's wrong with you?
I went to Austin. I'm good. I don't need to go stay at Meridian.
Goodbye. Go have fun. Larry Holder of The Athletic, you're the best. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Jody. Talk to you next week.
That brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best truck in the business. The Tigers got to their equipment to Tuscaloosa thanks to a Peterbilt truck. Peterbilt, built best. Basketball, season opener tonight. Preview next.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Humperk Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
We welcome you back on a football Friday, but we're taking a little diversion because, man, LSU basketball season gets underway tonight. As Bowling Green comes to the Pete Maravich Assembly Center, that means we get to listen to John Brady call the game again. And John, kind enough to join us en route to Baton Rouge for tonight's game. John, how are you, man? Hoop season. Welcome back.
Glad we get connected now. We're back to what I guess what we know is little basketball. So looking forward to it, Jordy.
But who you got, Bama or LSU? Let's get to the real thing. But come on now, you've been in these big games. You've been in a Final Four. Talk to me.
Possibly we're better. I think what we're going to do, what I've seen us do from an offensive standpoint, nobody's been able to really slow it down much. And I think defensively we're going to be fine. So, you know, I think if we're going to get Alabama in Tuscaloosa, I think this is the year to do it.
All right, let's do it. Okay, LSU, number 22 in the country heading into the season. Bowling Green, a team from the MAC that won 22 games a year ago. So a nice opening round opponent. You got to call the game, the charity game against Louisiana Tech. Tell me what you saw and what you liked.
Well, I like our team's ability in the perimeter. I like the flexibility of it. We can switch screens defensively. We can double team screens defensively. We're much more active defensively. I think what this team's going to have to pay real attention to, because of our lack of size, is fundamentally we're going to have to block out and really put bodies on people, because, you know, Bigby Williams and Naz Reid, just their presence from a physical standpoint, attracted defenders. Allowed us to protect the basket probably better than most teams. So this year, I think the only thing I saw that bothered me a little bit at Louisiana Tech was we gave up 20 offensive rebounds. And unless we're committed to really fundamentally blocking the board, and Coach Wade agreed after the show, if you give up 20 offensive rebounds in the SEC, that's 25 or 30 they're going to put back in the basket.
Yeah, that's right. John Brady, kind enough to join us. Two names I want to ask you about from your eyeball perspective. One, Trendon Watford, the plum of the recruiting class from the state of Alabama, two-time Alabama High School Player of the Year. What did you see in him, and is he the type of player that can step in right away and help in a big-time way as a freshman?
Well, I think he's a double-figure scorer as a freshman, close to a double-figure rebounder. Wow. He's not a back-to-the-basket postman. He's 6'8 and a half, can really rebound it and bring it up the floor off the dribble, can play make off the bounce, a good enough three-point shooter to have to be guarded out there. But he's not a pogo stick, a quick jumper. He's more of a Kevin Durant sort of not that athletic in terms of being able to get off the floor quickly, but to be able to handle the ball and shoot it, be an all-around basketball player at 6'8 and a half, he's a very good freshman, and I think he'll probably start most of the year unless something happens. I think that was part of the talk of getting him to come to LSU, and he's certainly going to make an impact and you know, arguably be one of the top five or six freshmen in the league this year.
John Brady on as the color analyst on the LSU Sports Radio Network. LSU versus Bowling Green tonight, 7 p.m. season opener. Tigers 16-2 a year ago in the SEC, SEC champs. The other play I'm interested in, and I've never heard a coach effuse such praise about this kid Manning. I think that's his name. Another newcomer. What did you see in him?
Well, when I went and watched LSU practice this summer, He's one of the players that really caught my eye in terms of his ability to run the floor. He's athletic. He's long. He's got length. He's explosive jumper, a good enough shooter, can really drive it to the goal. I think he's a very, very good SEC player. Now, how good he becomes in the league, you know, sometimes JUCO guys, it takes them half the year really to adapt to the pace of the play, the physicality of the league. But he is really a good signee, and not only will he be good this year for LSU, next year he'll be a real outstanding quality player in the Southeastern Conference.
It's always a good feeling for a coach when you got a guy like Tremont Waters on your club, because you know down the stretch you put the ball in his hand, he's not going to turn over, he's going to make plays, he's going to knock down shots. This is the opener, so LSU's got to determine who's the go-to guy, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's by committee, led by probably Skylar Mays, and then, you know, Javonte Smart proved he had some really good games a year ago. You know, you went back to LSU being 16-2 in the league, undefeated on the road in league play.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And four or five of those, Jordy, were overtime wins. So that's how fragile this business is. You know, you could have lost all of them or won half of them, and it wouldn't have been quite as good. But, you know, anytime you win overtime games, your team's doing something right. But I think Skylar, Javonte, Emmett Williams, you know, those three guys, Darius Days, I've always liked him. Those four guys, I think, are going to have to really be the main focal points of this team. And then you get Manning in there with Watford in there. You know, you got about eight guys, I think, that can really win at the level they want to win at, and then they've got some other guys that will help them. But they're not quite as deep as a year ago, but they're certainly athletic enough. We're certainly quick enough. We're certainly skilled enough. Can we continue to, or can we, rebound the ball as we need to at that level to be successful?
Is this going to be more of a full court pressure type of team because they don't have that rim protector, or are they going to settle back and play good half court, or a good mix of both?
I think it's going to be a mix of both. I think, and depending on the personnel of the other team, you'll find us trapping. We'll play some 1-3-1 going back to man. We're going to double on some ball screens and switch a lot of ball screens because we have guys that are somewhat similar in terms of their height and size and length. And so I think it's going to be a different team. I think offensively we're going to try to push it quick. If we have an open three-pointer, I think our team's encouraged to take it, and I think they're going to do it. And I think this will be a good shooting team. You know, it needs to, you know, we only shot 31% from the three-point line in league play a year ago, and we're going to have to get it up to 38-plus, I think, for this team to have the success or approach the success of the team a year ago.
He is in mid-season form, ladies and gentlemen. John Brady will be on the call of tonight's ball game, LSU versus Bowling Green. The half marathon. This isn't the NBA, so that the half marathon begins. And I think it's going to be a fun team to watch. And we always look forward to hearing from you and hearing your call of the game. So thank you, man. Drive safely. Have a good one. And I'm with you on the Tigers up there in T-Town. I like their chances this time. I really do.
It'd be like. In fact, I'm getting up in the morning about 7. I'm driving over. I have tickets and. So I can't miss this game. So I'm going to spend the night in Baton Rouge, get up in the morning, and go see the Tigers with the Tide tomorrow.
And I bet you Brady's not sitting up in the nosebleeds. I bet you got really good. You still got all the connections, man. You got a lot of connections in Birmingham, don't you? Don't you?
Well, my friend does have a suite. We're going to be sitting up in one of the suites, maybe one down from the president. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. You and Donald, go ahead and break bread together, my friend.
Maybe.
I appreciate the time, man, and have a great call of the game tonight. We'll be there.
All right, Jordy. Thank you, man. Talk to you soon. Take care.
That's John Brady, LSU versus Bowling Green. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we'll give you some predictions with the three amigos next on the Jordy Hultberg Show. Welcome back. Football Friday, Jordy Hultberg Show, 103.7 The Game. We have talked about this matchup till we're blue in the face. We've gotten the so-called expert pundits' viewpoint of this ball game, but I got to go to my pundits. I got to go to my amigos, and that, of course, is our good friend George Becknell. Say hello to everybody, George.
Hello, everybody. How y'all doing? It's Bama Hayden.
We're good, CD. Your turn.
Hey, everybody, what's going on?
All right, so normally, guys, we give you Monday's headlines on a Friday, and we go from coast to coast and north to south, but this is the game, and this is the mega game, all right? So we're going to focus all of our attention in this segment on this football game. So, George, let's get started with some LSU versus Bama, strengths versus strengths, weaknesses versus weaknesses. Let's go with the strength of LSU, which is Joe Burrow, versus the Alabama defense. Who has the advantage?
Jordan, most years I would say Alabama's defense, but this year's got to be Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has had a pocket that's been good for him all year. He's made some clutch throws. He's got some talented wide receiver. And when he's been under pressure, he's still been able to make plays. This Bama defense, the secondary of the Bama defense, can be exposed. I think this is the year it gets exposed. So I'm giving the nod to Joe Brady, Joe Burrow, and Steven Eisenhinger over the Bama defense this year.
All right. Clint, let's throw another one at you. Let's talk about, you know, the strength of Alabama's offense is their passing game. They've got some four great wide receivers. LSU secondary with Fulton and Stingley and Stevens and Delpit. How do you see the secondary matching up against Bama's receivers?
I see that secondary, especially in one particular matchup, Jordy, and that is Derek Stingley versus Jerry Jeudy. I think that one's going to be the most hotly contested matchup, and I think LSU has the edge there because I've seen what Derek Stingley Jr. can do. A lot of people have talked about him since he was in high school as being I know one high school football coach said he's probably the most electrifying player on the field, maybe since Kevin Falk, and that's really saying something. That's a ringing endorsement if there ever was one, and I can say right here, right now, Derek Stingley gets the edge over Jerry Jeudy. When it comes to the other members in the secondary, I feel like results will vary, but I feel like for the most part, because we've seen Stingley just be an absolute beast against anybody, I got to give him the edge because he hasn't shown me otherwise.
George, there's a lot of NFL talent on in that Alabama receiver core. There's a lot of NFL talent in the LSU secondary, man. What do you think?
Well, I'm looking at it. I like Clint's point. I like Derek Stingley over Jeudy. I think, you know, I agree with all of the above, man. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to surpass Pat Peterson as the greatest cornerback that I've seen at LSU, right? But one person concerns me. I'm concerned about Vincent in the slot. You know, as a nickel corner, he's been able to be exposed all year, so I'm really, really concerned about that. But other than that, as long as Anderson jumps out to the early lead and we can drop Delpit and Jacoby Stevens in pass coverage and not walk around them up to stop the run, I think LSU will be fine and they'll be able to contain Tua Tagovailoa, especially since he's not 100% back there passing the football.
This is the great chess match between Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator for Alabama, and Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator for LSU. What is Aranda going to do to try and stop Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, and Jalen Waddle? They got a tackle. Alabama's going to complete passes. Two is too accurate. These guys are too quick, and they run too good of routes to stop them. The question is, do they take that 6-yard slant and make it a 15-yard gain, or an 8-yard out and make it a 75-yard touchdown? That's what LSU can't do. And the professor, Coach Aranda, better earn his keep on this one. Mm-hmm. But I'm also curious, Clint, as what does Aranda dial up as far as how does he try to put some pressure on a quarterback who we heard Gary Danielson say it. He's not 100%. He doesn't look nearly as comfortable as a pep in his step as he's had before.
You got to load the box sometimes, Jordy, and I think that's what this team is going to wind up doing. We know Coach O talked about it on Wednesday, the fact that this team is going to have a few packages that we haven't seen just yet. Is the fact, obviously, Michael Divinity out, that means Patrick Queen. A lot of these other guys are going to have to step their game up to be able to fill that void. I think Patrick Queen will be a guy. He's my X factor for this ball game. Seeing how how that second level can get things done and cause a lot of chaos and pressure. Because I know that front line that LSU has, it's damn good. I think I've got to say that's the biggest thing they have to do is have that second level really start loading the box at certain points, especially on those money downs.
Got to disguise it, but what makes these two quarterbacks so good is they read defenses. They know who the hot route is, and it's just tough. They get out of their hands so quickly. The other thing I think it's key in this game, George, is who has the best running game. So let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and company going up against Bama's defense.
Well, I like what LSU does this year and run out of the spread. You know, Alabama's defense, their front seven is pretty good. You're not going to line up in a high formation and run on them, which fortunately we're not doing that this year. So I think as long as Joe Burrow is passing first, that opens up the run because they can't bring more than four or five people at a time. So as long as LSU can run out the spread, you put a hat on a hat and there's no extra pressure, no extra people in the box, because your passing game is so successful, then that's going to allow Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get some open space and get some big holes. That way he can gain some yards. So as long as we use the pass to set up the run and be successful at it, and there's no reason why we won't be successful at it because LSU's been doing it all year long, they'll be fine. So I'm looking for that first drive, Joe Burrow and the offense to be really, really aggressive, explosive, and go down and score with mostly passing. Then after that, you're going to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting some open space because they only rushed in the front four.
I think Burrow's going to get to the line of scrimmage with a pass play in mind and a run play that he can check off to. And I think Bama's going to go out there like Auburn did. They're going to put a lot of people in the secondary, and I think Burrow's going to check down to the run. There's no Quinnen Williams walking through that tunnel in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Right. He was a disruptor and a difference maker a year ago. I think the running game becomes very, very important. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, low to the ground, tough to see, tough to find, physical, and he can make you miss. I like LSU's run game against Bama's defense, although it's not going to be easy. LSU does a great job against the run, Clint. Najee Harris is a big physical back. Alabama's run game versus LSU's run defense.
I got to give the edge, probably one of the few edges I got to give it to with Alabama. I think Najee Harris has proven himself to be a big bruiser of a running back, continuing kind of the tradition that Alabama has had of having these just absolute monsters at running back. I got to give the edge to them, so because I feel like LSU's defense is not going to be nearly like as focused on handling the run defense as much as they're going to be handling the pass rush of Tua Tagovailoa.
Good point. I got to ask before we get into another one. Special teams is going to be critical. Field position is going to be critical in this thing. It may come down to a field goal. I like LSU's chances with our kicker against theirs. Are you in agreement, George?
Jordan, I got to disagree with you. Nick Saban historically has always been like a well-oiled machine in all facets of the game.
No. Look at their field goal kickers. Their field goal kickers have been terrible. That's how we won the game of the century, 9-6. They missed a bunch.
You're right on the field goal. I'm talking about special teams in general. You never see them off punts. They always do well and get good field position. True. They always have good returners. For the most part, I like Saban's special teams. Now, you're right. The kicker, our kicker is better than their kicker. But they don't make mistakes. So I'm a little bit concerned in that area, you know. DJ Stingley, he's an explosive guy. He's a freshman, you know. Now, I want him to obviously make a big play, but I like Alabama's special teams a little bit more than ours because of that man on the sideline.
All right. Well, you like Saban. I got you. I understand. He's the best of all time. Time for some predictions. Clint, what do you see? Give me a score.
For me, Jordy, it feels like right here, right now, if there's no better time to do it, it is going to be this coming Saturday. You've got LSU-Alabama Game of the Century, Part 2, 1 versus 2 in the AP poll. You got to go with the LSU Tigers. Getting the win here, it'll be a hotly contested matchup. I said it the other day, first to 35 gets the win. I say LSU wins 35-21. Your final score, a hotly contested ball game inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's a bold prediction, but I'm going to live with it.
Ooh, I'll take a 14-point win and relax. George, who you got?
Oh, man, you know, I have to go with the LSU Tigers. I think in recent years, you see this team show up against Alabama, and they don't even look like themselves. They're so intimidated by Alabama, and this year is going to be different because you see an attitude, a swagger with the offense, a swagger with our leader, Joe Burrow. They're going to be ready for this game. They're going to go to Tuscaloosa. They're going to punch Alabama.
Give me a score. Give me a score.
I'm going 38-27 LSU.
I got LSU winning it 33-30. We're convinced across the board that to be the man, you got to beat the man, and we're going to beat the man. Please, please. Have a great weekend, everybody. Go Tigers. We'll talk all about it Monday here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.